Egyptian forces opened fire at 7:30 a.m. this morning on both Syrian and Suez fronts, and that Israel has a partial mobilization of forces, and that there has been a precautionary air raid warning in Tel Aviv. These are all the details I know officially.
A spokesman for the Israeli mission to the United Nations, Yaakov Morris. The United Nations truce observers in the Middle East report to headquarters today they had seen Egyptian and Syrian troops crossing ceasefire lines with Israel. The observers report crossings by Egypt at 5 points along the Suez Canal and by the Syrians at 2 points in the Golan Heights district. The United States State Department is keeping a very close eye on that war situation in the Middle East. KNX News Radio correspondent Don Swain reports on official U.S. pronouncements from New York.
State Department spokesman Robert McCloskey says Henry Kissinger had planned to remain in New York all weekend, but decided to cut short his stay in order to be in closer touch with Mideast developments from Washington. McCloskey says Kissinger has been in close telephone contact with President Nixon, who is in Key Biscayne. And McCloskey says Kissinger has contacted a number of leaders close to the situation.
The secretary, not necessarily in the following order, but has been in contact with the foreign ministers of Egypt and Israel, the secretary general of the UN, the president of the Security Council, who this month is the permanent representative of Australia, Ambassador Dobrynin of the Soviet Embassy in Washington, and that messages were sent by the secretary to King Faisal and King Hussein in their respective capitals.
McCloskey says the U.S. urged those involved to use restraint, not to undermine the 1970 ceasefire and to end the current fighting. McCloskey says the U.S. had known the military buildup along the Mideast borders for some time, but had no indication of overt hostilities until the last minute. This is Don Swain in New York.
President Nixon is following the course of events in the Middle East from his Key Biscayne, Florida estate today. The president is keeping in close touch with Henry Kissinger in Newark. In New York, White House aides say the president conferred with White House Chief of Staff Alexander Haig and News Secretary Ronald Ziegler. The president was awakened early today with a call from the Secretary of State. Kissinger had word on a critical situation developing in the Middle East. Later came word of the fighting in several of the Middle East states. Israel air, sea, and land forces engaged Egyptian forces to the south and Syrian forces to the north after a rapid two-day buildup of troops along the borders. Authoritative diplomats in London say European leaders have worked out a compromise which will enable them to bypass a general summit meeting with President Nixon.
CBS News, Tony Sargent reporting on the CBS radio network. Israeli troops are battling units from Egypt and Syria in what has now become the first night of the new war. Reports from the Mideast now are indicating Arab troops pushed into territory Israel had held since the so-called Six-Day War of 1967. Today's fighting was the heaviest since then. The action burst into the highest of Israeli holy days, Yom Kippur. But Tel Aviv was quick to mobilize resistance, as we hear in this report from the Israeli capital by Tom Fenton.
The Israeli army reports that the battle is still raging along the entire length of the Suez Canal, where Egyptian forces earlier established two bridgeheads and were pouring men and armor into the Sinai. In addition to the canal crossings, the Israelis said the Egyptians attempted to land troops in the Sinai by helicopters. 10 of the troop-carrying helicopters, the Israelis said, were shot down. On the northern front, the Israelis said the Syrians had met with little success on the Golan Heights. The army said that dozens of Syrian tanks were destroyed in the armored battle and large numbers of Syrian infantrymen were hit. Defense Minister Dayan, addressing the nation on television, predicted victory but said it would take several more days. Tom Fenton, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
A report from Cairo after this.
Call me. Don't be afraid. You can call me. Maybe it's late, but just call me. Call me and I'll be around. If you call, I'll be right with you. You and I should be together. Take this heart, my love to give you.
I'll be at your side forever. Call me.
Hi, Max Moraes for the Bell System. You know, whether it's birthday time, holiday time, nighttime, daytime, anytime, long distance is the next best thing to being there.
Call me. Don't be afraid. You can call me. Maybe it's late, but just call me. Call me and I'll be around.
We've just heard from CBS News Pentagon correspondent Bob Schieffer that sailors of the U.S. 6th Fleet have been recalled from leaves because of the new war in the Mideast. In this new war, the Egyptians appear to be releasing more accurate information to newsmen than they did in the 1967 conflict. We have a report from the CBS News correspondent in Cairo, Bob Allison.
There appears to be a lot more substance in the reports coming out of the military command here this war. 6 years ago, radio listeners heard nothing but stories about the gallant Air Force and the appalling toll suffered by Israeli pilots. Actually, Egypt's Air Force had already been destroyed when these reports were being put out by Cairo radio. But today, for instance, Egypt announced first that it had crossed the canal. Sometime later, the Israelis confirmed that this was true. Usually, the Israelis make the announcements first. Hours later, Egypt either denies them or gives a different version. In this war so far, the Egyptians appear to be sticking much closer to the truth. Bob Allison, CBS News, Cairo.
United States Secretary of State Henry Kissinger in New York earlier today for UN functions has personally asked the foreign ministers of Egypt and Israel to end the hostilities. Some reaction to the new war by Israeli Foreign Minister Abba Eban came today from Eban's spokesman at the United Nations, Jacob Morris.
The Egyptian and Syrian contention that Israel struck first is ridiculous beyond the point of grotesqueness, as it also emerges from the report of the United Nations Truce Supervision Organization. The Egyptian announcement of the crossing of the Suez Canal indicates a planned initiative.
Israeli spokesman Jacob Morris at the United Nations.
CBS News, Alan Jackson reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The Egyptians claim to have scored significant advances into the Israeli-occupied portions of the Sinai Desert. The Israelis, in effect, have admitted this. Defense Minister Moshe Dayan said he expects still more Egyptian forces to cross the Suez into the Sinai, but he is confident they will be defeated in a few days.
I feel sure that they're...
Earlier, the Syrian military spokesman said Syrian forces succeeded in capturing the key area of Mount Hermon and overwhelming a number of Israeli positions on the ceasefire line, claims contested by Israel. In Damascus itself, the situation is reportedly quiet but tense. An eyewitness told CBS News over the telephone from Damascus that there has so far been no air raids against the Syrian capital. But Syrian Air Force jets were in the skies continually to provide an air umbrella. He added that morale in the city appears to be very high, and the people's militia and civil defense units have been fully mobilized. Michael O'Sullivan, CBS News, Beirut.
Israel's Prime Minister, Mrs. Meir, said her government was not surprised by today's attacks. Some other people, it appears, were. U.S. officials in Washington said that although they had advance information on the Arab military buildup along the borders of Israel, they had no indication that actual fighting would break out today. Secretary of State Kissinger, who has been in New York this week conferring with Israeli and Arab leaders, among others, was among those surprised, as spokesman Robert McCloskey explained.
I must say, going back over the conversations that the Secretary has had here in New York with foreign ministers in the last several days, we never had any indication from any of the ministers that there was a military action intended by any of the governments.
McCloskey also reported that Kissinger was cutting short his stay in New York to fly back to Washington this afternoon for consultations. President Nixon has been kept informed of the latest developments, starting out with the early morning telephone call from Kissinger. White House spokesman Gerald Warren said the president might cut short his stay in Key Biscayne by a day and return to Washington tomorrow, although there's nothing firm on that yet. A possible new dimension of the fighting this time has been indicated in an announcement by the president of the African country of Uganda, Idi Amin. Some Uganda military officers have been undergoing training in Egypt and Libya. This afternoon, Amin ordered them to join the Arabs in the fight against Israel. No indication of how many Uganda officers might be involved or what their reactions are to Amin's order. At the United Nations, Arab spokesmen argued that they were moving to put an end to Israeli aggression once and for all. Israeli officials denounced the Arab claims as preposterous, and Israel's Foreign Minister Abba Eban is scheduled to be meeting with UN reporters at this hour to give his version of events.
Arab and I'm through the canal, and we are fighting up to the river, up to the water of the Suez Canal, and I believe it will end up by no Egyptian staying on this side of the canal.
Israeli Defense Minister Moshe Dayan, speaking at a press conference just concluded, fighting is reported along the entire length of the Suez Canal, where Israel Radio says 750,000 troops are now massed. Fighting also reported along the ceasefire line in the Golan Heights. However, Charles Ridley and Barut says he believes the fighting will end shortly.
The dog fights really were very severe just at the very start, and after that, there's not a clear picture. It does not appear that the Israelis are trying to sort of occupy chunks of Syria or Egypt.
Both sides are accusing the other of starting the fighting in Washington. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger has been instructed by President Nixon to try to bring about a halt in the hostilities, and apparently there will be no immediate UN Security Council meeting.
Egyptian and Syrian troops moved into Israeli-occupied territory on two widespread fronts today, but apparently neither has made much headway. On the north, Syrian forces crossed into the Golan Heights, but Israel claims it has regained all lost territory. In the south, Egyptian forces crossed the Suez Canal and still are believed holding positions on the east bank. Israel has now launched a counteroffensive, hoping to drive the Egyptians out. Relative calm prevails in both Cairo and Tel Aviv. In fact, commercial airline flights are leaving Tel Aviv's Lod Airport business as usual. At sea, Israeli gunboats claim to have sunk four Syrian missile boats and one torpedo boat in an exchange of ship-to-ship missile fire off the coast of Syria. It was the first time Israel has reported use of its own Gabriel missiles. More on that situation in Israel from NBC News correspondent David Barrington.
For the first time since the Six-Day War, the sirens were for real. There was no panic, but people were scared and angry, especially angry that Arab armies would attack on this day, Yom Kippur, the most holy Jewish day. So instead of heading for synagogues, people in Tel Aviv headed for bomb shelters. This was the first people knew of the Arab attacks. The sirens were set off by Syrian planes bombing the northern Golan Heights. The attack did not catch Israel completely by surprise. Intelligence reported a big Arab buildup, so last night the call-up began of reserve forces. Today the streets were supposed to be empty, no driving on this holy day, but war is an exception. All day, cars, buses, trucks were racing through the streets, mainly to pick up reserve soldiers. The soldiers knew they were heading for very heavy fighting on two fronts, but details have been hard to come by. The army did disclose that eight big Egyptian helicopters had been shot down with more than 200 soldiers. An official report said at least 25 Egyptian planes had been downed. Ready. Arab casualties, Israel said, were very, very heavy. Tonight, the Israeli Defense Minister, Moshe Dayan, said Israel knew the attack was coming and could have struck first, but didn't. His main concern is Sinai, where Egypt has gained beachheads and will probably get reinforcements tonight. But Israeli reserves are getting into position, he said, and soon will be up to strength and able to pass out of this first stage.
And when we pass this stage between the start of the war and the full reinforcement of our forces there with the armor and other forces that should be mobilized and transported over there, then we can start the real war the way that we see it, not only to try to stop them.
Mr. Dayan said Israel has no political goals, but would try to punish the Arabs for their adventure and cause them as many casualties as possible. Nobody here knows for sure why Egypt and Syria attacked. Prime Minister Golda Meir called it lunacy. But political analysts figure the two countries hope to make quick inroads on Israeli-held territory, then agree to a UN ceasefire. A small victory, but a big boost in national pride. Israel will do its best to prevent that. David Burrington, NBC News, Tel Aviv.
Reports of casualties in the fighting are still sketchy. Israel, as Burrington just told you, claims it has inflicted heavy losses on the Arabs. The Israelis acknowledge the deaths of 15 civilians in the Golan Heights, casualties from the Syrian shellings. Egypt claims it has downed 11 Israeli planes while losing 10 of its own. The key to an apparent failure of Egypt and Syria to make more headway in the attacks has been the lack of military support from the other Arab nations, particularly Jordan. Here in this country, Secretary of State Henry Kissinger has personally appealed to the foreign ministers of Egypt and Israel to call a ceasefire.